Good morning. My name is Judy May, and I am one of the associate pastors here, and I am thrilled to have been asked to worship with you this morning. There's more light. This morning, I want to share with you two scripture passages that I think will help us get at the heart of answering the fasting question. Healthy disciples fast according to the schedule. Is fasting foolish? Is it fruitful? Is it faithful? What does the Lord require of healthy disciples? From the Gospel, Luke chapter 5, beginning at verse 33. Then they said to him, John's disciples, like the disciples of the Pharisees, frequently fast and pray. But your disciples, Jesus, eat and drink. And Jesus said to them, you cannot make wedding guests fast while the bridegroom is with them, can you? The days will come when the bridegroom will be taken away from them, and then they will fast in those days. He also told them a parable. No one tears a piece from a new garment and sews it on an old garment. Otherwise, the new will be torn, and the piece from the new will not remain, will not match the old. And no one puts new wine into old wineskins. Otherwise, the new wine will burst the skins and will be spilled, and the skins will be destroyed. But new wine must be put into fresh wineskins. And no one, after drinking old wine, desires new wine, but says, the old is good. And then words from the prophet Isaiah in the Hebrew scriptures. This is Peterson's translation, The Message. Shout, a full-throated shout. Hold nothing back. A trumpet blast shout. Tell my people what's wrong with their lives. Face my family, Jacob, with their sins. They're busy, busy, busy at worship and love studying all about me. To all appearances, they're a nation of right-living people, law-abiding, God-honoring. They ask me, what's the right thing to do? And love having me on their side. But they also complain. Why do we fast and you don't look our way? Why do we humble ourselves and you don't even notice? Well, here's why, God says. The bottom line on your fast days is profit. You drive your employees much too hard. You fast, but at the same time, you bicker and fight. You fast, but you swing a mean fist. The kind of fasting you do won't get your prayers off the ground. Do you think that this is the kind of fast day I'm after? A day to show off humility, to put on a pious long face and parade around solemnly in black? Do you call that fasting? A fast day that I, God, would like? This is the kind of fast day I'm after. To break the chains of injustice, to get rid of exploitation in the workplace, free the oppressed, cancel debts. What I'm interested in seeing you do is sharing your food with the hungry, inviting the homeless poor into your homes, putting clothes on the shivering, ill-clad. Being available to your own families. Do this and the lights will turn on and your lives will turn around at once. Your righteousness will pave your way. The God of glory will secure your passage. Then when you pray, God will answer. You'll call out for help and I'll say, here I am. If you get rid of unfair practices, quit blaming victims, quit gossiping about other people's sins, if you are generous with the hungry and start giving yourselves to the down and out, your lives will begin to glow in the darkness Your shadowed lives will be bathed in sunlight. I will always show you where to go. I'll give you a full life in the emptiest of places. Firm muscles, strong bones. You'll be like a well-watered garden, a gurgling spring that never runs dry. You'll use the old rubble of the past to build anew. Rebuild the foundation from out of your past. You'll be known as those who can fix anything, restore old ruins, rebuild and renovate. Make the community livable again. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Will you pray with me? Holy One, may the words that you have given me to speak and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable worship. Our solid rock, our merciful Redeemer and Sustainer. Amen. In the text from Luke's story of Jesus, the Pharisees and the teachers of the law are at it again. Always looking for something about which to criticize Jesus. Three times in this chapter alone. You can look it up. It's in the book. This third time, the topic is fasting. And they ask Jesus, why don't you tell your disciples to be better disciplined? Look, Jesus, our disciples and the disciples of John the Baptist fast and pray a lot. But your disciples eat and drink. Why? And as is often the case with Jesus, he answers with a question and a parable. You don't fast when there's a celebration like a wedding, do you? I'm like the bridegroom. The bridegroom at his wedding feast. Because I am here now with my disciples, they celebrate. There will come a time when I am gone. And then there will be a time for fasting. And then Jesus adds three sayings, contrasting the old and the new. More than just the question of whether the disciples will fast, Jesus is interested in discipleship. Discipleship and its relationship to worship, to piety, a theme that he will teach about throughout his ministry. Jesus is not advocating for the removal of fasting as a spiritual discipline. Those who were upset because Jesus' disciples were not fasting had failed to understand, to see his gospel. His gospel was new, a new focus. Fasting is assumed. Jesus took for granted that people would fast. Remember, he taught, when you fast, not if you fast, but when you fast. When his disciples explained that they couldn't perform a miracle, Jesus had told them it could only be done by prayer and fasting. Fasting has always been part of religious devotion, both Christian and non-Christian. How many of us really understand, much less practice, that discipline of fasting? Other than during the season of Lent, when we might give up chocolate. For 21st century disciples, is fasting foolish? If we say no to fasting, is it because we see no sense in it? Nothing at all good will come from it? Our culture says it's foolish. It means having to be hard on ourselves, denying comfort or pleasure. Our culture believes in indulgence, not discipline. Fasting calls for pulling in the reins, saying no to ourselves about something that we like or enjoy. So, who wants that? Fasting is foolish, the culture says, if it's merely tokenism, especially when we fast from things that don't really matter, the trivial, the shallow, the insignificant, the superficial. Fasting, true fasting, involves sacrifice, real sacrifice. It involves a change of mind and a change of heart. The desire to be a follower of Christ. Not to build up our ego. It's not a matter of scoring points. It's not a matter of pride. We can't stack up merit for Judgment Day. Jesus, in his Sermon on the Mount, as recorded in Matthew's Gospel, was very, very clear about fasting for show. Don't do it. That's foolish fasting. And that takes us then to the text from Isaiah. The people of Isaiah's day had trouble. They were oppressing workers, letting the hungry starve, letting the unclothed go without, avoiding family responsibilities, generally supporting injustice through their inaction. And this while going through the motions of their faith. They performed the required rites, but their hearts weren't in it. They wanted to feel good about themselves without doing the real work. They fasted, but never changed their behavior. And they couldn't figure out why God didn't acknowledge their worship. The actions were empty and didn't result in holy living. So, what does faithful, fruitful fasting look like? Through the prophet Isaiah, we hear about fasting. Fasting in terms of loosening the bonds of wickedness, letting the oppressed go free, sharing bread with those who are starving, providing shelter for those without a home, covering those without clothing. It's all in the book. From this kind of fasting comes God's blessings. The benefits derived from sincere programs of fasting. We discover self-mastery, an exercise of the will to do what is right. Another benefit of fruitful fasting is that it helps us choose the top priority in our life. If we fast, we must decide who really is our God. What or who is first place in our value system? Many gods, small g, exist in our corporate and individual lives. Materialism, nationalism, pride of place, status, race. But fasting helps us see that these are really false gods. Fasting helps us renounce those false gods so that we can give our full loyalty and our full devotion to our Creator. Fasting that is faithful, fasting that is fruitful, is an important spiritual practice. It is part of our spiritual formation as we pursue to have the mind of Christ. In a time of fasting, we withdraw from our normal routine, much like when we go on a pilgrimage or a retreat. For most, the idea of fasting, when you think of it, what do you think of fasting from food? That's a major theme, usually, when we think of fasting. For Christians, we fast during the season of Lent. For Jews, it's Yom Kippur. For our Muslim brothers and sisters, it's Ramadan. Food. Since the 1991 World Methodist Conference, Methodists all around the globe have been encouraged to participate in the same weekly fast that John Wesley observed for most of his life. Thursday night, after dinner, until mid-afternoon on Friday, Wesley fasted and prayed. Now, for health reasons, many cannot participate in that kind of a fast. But there are non-food fasts as well. We might want to consider what those might be. What might we sacrifice to be healthy disciples of the one who sacrificed it all? How might we design a fast that is fruitful and faithful? Perhaps it would look like a restriction of activities such as Netflix, social media. Ooh, that's a big one, right? Allowing for increased time in prayer, time for searching the scriptures, volunteering to help transform some of these issues mentioned in Isaiah. You know, whatever you have done to the least of these, back to Matthew 25. That's in the book too. Fasting from non-essentials gives us more time, more energy to build relationships. Relationships with God, with our family, friends, neighbors we have yet to meet, those who our culture has deemed and labeled the other. Searching those scriptures in community. Acquiring those skills using different forms of prayer. Time and energy. So here is the question for each one of us. To fast or not to fast? If the answer is no, we may have decided that it's just foolishness. But if the answer is yes, we may have seen that fruit can be born in our spiritual lives. If we decide to fast, it will be necessary to make that fasting genuine. An outward sign of an inner renewal rooted and grounded in our heart. We who seek to be healthy disciples fast in order to reorient ourselves away from anything that distracts us from following God and partaking of the new wine of Christ. Right intentions without results, emptiness. Results without right intention, conniving. But right intentions with appropriate results, that's faithful and fruitful fasting. Let's become healthy disciples. What do you say? Well, think about it this week. Fast? Or not to fast. Let us pray. Gracious God, give you thanks for your word in your scripture, your word in the life of your son that instructs us to be faithful. We give you thanks for this time together. Help us to understand what you would have us be, have us do, have us live so that we are like a fresh spring. Sunlight and brightness to those who are yet to know your love, your mercy, your peace, and your strength. All of our prayers we lift in the name of your Son, Jesus the Christ. Amen.